If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this last Sunday of February 1975, we take great pleasure in greeting you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're happy here at Worth Baptist Church because God is blessing us in a very remarkable way. In fact, for the very first time in our history, for these last 8 weeks, that's all of 1975, our Sunday school has averaged more than 500 per Sunday. God has saved many souls and added them to our church, and the spirit of revival continues in the ministry of Worth Baptist Church. We're rejoicing in the prospects of the future. The Lord is opening doors, and we're looking forward to reaching many, many people for Christ during this year. If you do not have a church home, we cordially invite you to come and visit Worth Baptist Church with us today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. Our textbook in Worth Baptist Sunday School is the Bible. We believe the Bible to have the answer. We believe God has spoken through His Word. We believe that the Bible is the ultimate and final revelation of God to man. We believe the Bible is inspired and infallible. And we hold to the doctrines of the Word of God in our Sunday School and throughout the program of the church's ministry. We are currently in a series of studies in the Gospel according to John. In all of our classes, we teach the Bible, and our lesson today will be taken from John chapter 14, entitled, A Home in Heaven. Perhaps you've had a loved one to die recently, and you want to know more about heaven? Come today and study with us, A Home in Heaven, in the Sunday School Hour, at 10 o'clock from John chapter 14. And our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11. We're looking forward to a tremendous and wonderful time as we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness today. Our Sunday evening worship service begins at 7. And I have a very special message for you tonight. I've entitled it, Four Death Angels. This is another in the series of messages entitled 1975 in Prophecy. Who are these four death angels? Where do they come from? What are they going to do? How are they going to do it? These are some of the questions that will be answered in the message tonight. Four death angels in the series of messages 1975 in Prophecy. This could well be the year of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the end of this age, and the coming of the awesome tribulation period. I encourage you, my friend, today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or if you have members of your family who are unsaved, get them in the house of God today. Bring them to hear this timely message tonight, Four Death Angels, at 7 o'clock here at Worth Baptist Church. And then I have two special announcements. Beginning today, Sunday, February 23rd, and continuing through next Sunday, we are conducting our annual Week of Witnessing. During this week, beginning today, the members of Worth Baptist Church will contact no less than 10,000 people for Christ in our city and across the Metroplex. We believe this will make a spiritual impact on the city. We believe it'll make an impact on our community and on our church. So, my friend, you may be one of the 10,000 that someone will contact from Worth Baptist Church this week during our annual Week of Witnessing, in which time we propose to contact at least 10,000 people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second special announcement concerns next Sunday. Next Sunday, March the 2nd, Worth Baptist Church will celebrate its 21st anniversary. It has been my privilege to pastor this church for 13 years, now in the 14th year. For the last 21 years, this church has stood in this community as a lighthouse on a hill. We're looking forward to enjoying the very best day in the history of the church. Our Sunday school goal for next Sunday is 750. We'd like for you to be one of those at 10 o'clock in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church. We'll be looking forward to seeing you. And again, in the meantime, the things that are nearer at hand today, our Sunday school at 10, our morning worship at 11, and our Sunday evening worship at 7. We would be happy in the meantime to hear from you by mail this week. If you would like the cassette tapes of Worth Baptist Hour or the tapes on cassette of all of the messages that are preached at Worth Baptist Church, we invite you to write and inquire as to how you can receive them. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Write today to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast, entitled, God's Courtroom of Justice. I shall read from the prophecy of Isaiah, beginning in chapter 1 at verse 18. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for the privilege of voicing the gospel. We thank Thee for everyone who is listening today, perhaps many for the very first time. We pray that the Holy Spirit might use this message to bless their hearts, to strengthen them, to bring them to Christ. For our shut-in friends, for our sick ones, for those, dear Lord, who are in trouble and who are despondent and in despair in these moments. Some, dear Lord, who perhaps are ready to give up and call it quits and end their life today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would awaken something within their souls in this hour. That man that's traveling across the city in the big old truck. That family that's traveling down the highway. The people there in the business, in the shop, in the motel, in the hotel, in the hospital, in their homes. Or maybe that one that's walking down the road with a little transistor radio. I pray today that the Holy Spirit would capture those hearts and bless those souls and bring men to Christ, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, the book that is often called the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Isaiah, I read at verse 18. God says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." These words remind us of a courtroom scene. I remember one day I stood in a courtroom, having allowed my driver's license to expire, and I knew not what to say to the judge. I couldn't speak his language, but we had retained a lawyer, and the lawyer stood up to the judge and pled my case, and the judge dismissed it, and I felt relieved, though I knew I was guilty of allowing the operator's license to expire. The judge had mercy because of extenuating circumstances, and I was a free man. But more than that, it appears to me that one day I stood condemned before the judge of the universe, and there was a long list, a whole catalog of indictments against me. My attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, stepped up and pled my case and covered all my sins in his own precious blood. And God, the judge of the universe, dismissed the case. He pardoned me. He forgave me. He washed away my sins in the blood of the Savior. He set me free. And my friend, God can do and will do the same thing for you today. In the courtroom of God's justice, there are three things that I want us to notice. First of all, a solemn accusation. If you were to go back and read beginning in verse 2 and on down through verse 17 in Isaiah chapter 1, you would see that there were a number of indictments against the people of God, the nation Israel. Remember, God is the judge, Israel is the defendant, and the witnesses are all the creatures in heaven and on earth. Let's notice this solemn accusation. This people, Israel, is described as being a stubborn, rebellious, hard-hearted, obstinate people. They are indicted with rebellion. God said to them, "You have rebelled." They are indicted with ignorance. God says that the ox knoweth his master's crib, and the ass knoweth the stall where he gets his food. But my people, God said, doth not know me. Spiritual ignorance. They're indicted with being a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They are indicted with having forsaken the Lord and with having provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They had turned their backs on God. They were revolting more and more against Him. They had mental illness. God said the whole head is sick. They had spiritual sickness. God said the whole heart is faint. From head to foot, they had wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. This was the list of indictments against Israel in the long ago. But my friend, this has a 20th century application in America. For America is just as guilty as was Israel. There are many indictments to be laid against America in her national life today. I read in Isaiah 60 and verse 18, "The nation that will not serve God shall perish." I read in Psalm 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God." And what about Proverbs 14:34? The wise Solomon said, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Get that now. Righteousness exalteth a nation, lifts a nation up, but sin becomes a reproach to any people, America included. We are just as guilty as Israel was. All of these indictments are against us. And what America needs today is not the development of an educational process, nor the cultivation of a more dignified social order. What we need in our fair land today, what America needs from the White House to the courthouse, from Washington to the ends of the nation, what this great country needs is a rediscovery of the spiritual values upon which this country was founded. And we need a reenactment of the spiritual laws by which this country needs to be governed. These are the needs of this hour. A local insurance executive said to me this week, "If the pastors have ever had anything to say to America, it is today, with all of the crime and violence and sin that characterize our land." And how true it is. The pastors of America need to cry aloud and spare not. We need to warn men of the coming calamities and the judgment of God upon this nation for our sins. And what about your life, my friend? You are America. You are this city. What about your own individual life and mine? We too are guilty of all of these things. We've committed all of these sins. And James says, if we have offended in one point, we are guilty of all. This is the solemn indictment against America and against this city and against you as a child of God today, if you're out of God's will. A rebellious people, a people laden with iniquity. But then, my friend, there comes in the second place, and I love this, a gracious invitation. Verse 18 says, "Come now, Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I notice in this invitation three things. First, it is an urgent appeal. God says, come now. Time is the most precious commodity God has given us. It is so precious He gives it only a second at a time. The poet said, I've only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. I've only just a minute, but all eternity is in it. Today, my friend, is the day of salvation. Yesterday is like a canceled check. It's worthless. Tomorrow is only a promissory note. The only thing you have today, the only thing you have is today. Now, ready cash, so to speak. This is the day of salvation. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with will. Place not faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. This is an urgent appeal. Come now, let us reason together. Secondly, it is a universal appeal. God says to you, whoever you are, wherever you live, whatever your status, whatever your background, whatever your sins, God says to you, you come and let us reason together. With all of your doubts, with all of your fears, with all of your frustrations, with all of your heartaches, with all of your problems, with all of the reverses and crises in your life, God wants you to come to Him and sit down with Him and reason with Him about your past and about your future and about your eternal destiny, because you're going to spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. In the third place, it is an unconditional appeal. You can come as you are. You don't have to wait to get any better. You don't have to wait to get any worse. You don't have to justify your conduct before God. You don't have to explain your disobedience. You don't have to excuse your ignorance. All you need to do is come. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. All you need to do in this hour is come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Jesus said, come unto me, all of ye that labor and are a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, come, for all things are now ready. Jesus said, in the very last and great invitation of the Bible, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. That, my friend, is the unconditional, universal, urgent appeal in the gracious invitation of our God, who said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. The keynote of the invitation, it appears to me, is the word reason. God is a reasonable God. God wants to reason with you, and God expects from you only that which is reasonable. In Romans 12, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is, my friend, very reasonable for you to confess your sins, because God has promised to forgive them. It is reasonable for you to pray, because you can expect an answer. God said, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It is reasonable for you to sow the seed, because you can anticipate a harvest. It is reasonable to let your light shine, because light dispels darkness. You don't have to tell a light bulb to burn. You don't have to describe the bulb and give the wattage of it and beg it to burn. It just burns when you turn on the switch. And my Christian friend, when God saved you, He turned on your switch, spiritually speaking, and you should shine for Christ every day that you live. It is certainly a reasonable thing for you to give, because you can expect a return. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Let me give you an illustration. God had only one son. God gave that son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the world. And in return, God has received multiplied millions of sons. Yes, it is reasonable for you to do these things. It's reasonable for you to come to Christ today and turn your life completely over to Him. Then in the third place, an honorable proposition. The proposition is twofold. God said if you obey, you'll prosper. God said if you refuse, if you reject, if you rebel, you'll suffer punishment. You'll be devoured by the sword. Eternal death is yours if you refuse the Lord Jesus Christ today. I read in Ezekiel 18:3, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And Revelation 20 and verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. My friend, I have this footnote, and I shall be through. God has done everything He can do for your salvation. The rest is up to you. It is up to you to either accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. If you accept Him as your personal Savior, you will live forever. If you reject Him, you will die forever. Let me ask you, why will you die when the sheltering rock is so nearby? My friend, I bid you come to Christ today with all of your sins, and remember, though they be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This, in the courtroom of God's justice, is God's invitation to you. Come, for all things are now ready. I bid you come to Christ today. And I bid you come and worship Him with us here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school hour, 10 o'clock. Our morning worship hour, 11. Our Sunday evening worship service at 7. Remember the special message this evening entitled, Four Death Angels, one of the series of messages in the series entitled, 1975 in Prophecy. That's tonight at 7 here at Worth Baptist Church. And remember, we're located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. It would be our joy to greet you today in any or all the services of Worth Baptist Church. And until next Lord's Day, at this same hour, by means of radio, we bid you goodbye, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and preserve you. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.